Thank you for that special, Evil Wings. I need some of them wings. Amen. All right. Our message is taken from Zephaniah, and that's in the Old Testament. And sometimes these minor prophet books are hard to find. Nahum was our scripture for today that Diane read, chapter 1, verse 7. And then you have Haggai, Zechariah, and then Haggai comes after that. So it's right in that area, okay? Right in the middle.
That's right.
Almost in the middle of mine. But Zephaniah only has three chapters too, but we'll be looking at chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. And actually, the songs that we sang today and so forth goes along with this particular scripture's and passage. There are 12 minor prophets, 12 minor prophets and 5 major prophets. Yep. So that's a total of what, 17 prophets that prophesied and told us the things that's going to be taking place. This particular message is an application for us as well with the things that's going on in the world, and the prophecies are being fulfilled as we speak. And so it helps us to see that God loves us and He rejoices over us.
Yep.
I mean, there is judgment, there is condemnation. If we don't follow God's commandments, His covenant that He has given us, the promises are factual, they're true, they're absolute. And Israel being chosen people, we are loved just as well as the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, Zion, and all three of those who practically mean the same thing. But in our text today, if you follow along with me, I'll begin with verse 14 through 17. And here, Zephaniah, he's talking about a remnant of Israel. If you read through the Old Testament, at times when they were in bondage, Babylonian bondage, as slaves and things like that, the wars they went through, and Israel doing that now with Gaza. So there's always a remnant of people who keep their faith in God. And God rejoices over that. And He hopes and desires, fervent desire, as Luke 22 said, when Jesus came to the disciples and said, I have a fervent desire to have this Passover with you. So the scripture speaks about God's desire, His fervent desire for the people to come alongside Him, and they will be blessed. But here, Zephaniah says, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. You see, mention all three of these right here. Israel, Zion, and Jerusalem, which mean through of the same thing. But Zephaniah wanted the Israelites to know, combining these together. Okay, verse 15. The Lord has taken away His judgment against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You will fear disaster no more. And in that day it will be said to Jerusalem, the coming days, they're still coming. Still being prophesied. Do not be afraid, O Zion, and that means Jerusalem. Do not let your hands fall limp. Means keep your strength. Lean on me, come to me. That's what this verse is saying. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. And when you look at this in the Hebrew, it's amazing. It means dancing and singing. God is doing that over us, over Israel. That's what that means. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Now, that says a lot right there. That means that shows God's unconditional love right here. And sometimes our view of God determines our relationship with him. You see, many see the Lord sometimes as one who kind of stands off at the distance, watching and waiting for the moment that we mess up. Now, that's how some people view God. I don't know if you remember back in 1985, Midler sang a song, "From a Distance." You know, God is watching over us. Well, he's not at a distance. You know, it's a beautiful song, well written, everything. It was written by Julie Gold back in 1985, and she made a hit at it. It was 1990. But God is not at a distance. He's not just sitting there, you know, waiting for something to happen. He's engaged in everything, every area of our life. So the Bible teaches that the Lord is not impersonal. And that it tells us right here in Zephaniah. He does not wish to remain somewhere in the distance. But rather he desires a close, intimate relationship with all people, all mankind, including everyone in this world. In fact, for those of us who have confessed him as our Savior, he is the one who loves us so greatly and rejoices over us with shouts of joy, as we see here in verse 17. And this morning, and as I move along fairly quickly here, we're going to come to know the Lord's extraordinary love as we look at our Lord as he rejoices and shouts over us and dances and sings, yeah, as the Hebrew text tells us. So, first of all, we see the mighty one who will save, and that's verses 14 through 17. As I was scanned through the minor prophets, and like I say, there's 12, and in the view of this particular passage, it caused me to pause and ponder its meaning. And I like to do that. When I come to a passage of Scripture and it just kind of jumps out at me and catches my attention, I want to just kind of camp out there and look at it and see what it means and ponder its meaning. And I hope this morning I can reveal or interpret this in a way that you will kind of latch onto it as well and see that God really loves us. He loves the nation of Israel, Zephaniah, and all the minor prophets, the major prophets, and all the disciples, always sharing the love of God. That's why he came to this earth, to die for our sins, because of his great unconditional love for us. And when we look at this, I believe that this passage caught my attention because it causes me to reflect on God's amazing love for you and me. It causes me to reflect, and I hope that you will reflect on God's amazing love for you and everyone around us. And to come across this scripture right here, it is amazing to me. It's a It was kind of a big surprise as I looked at it and pondered on it and to see the message that we can receive from this. So first of all, in verse 14, we see that God was speaking to Zion, Israel, and Jerusalem. And when you think about it, Zion, or Jerusalem, is the city of David. It says that all the way through the Old Testament and Scriptures, even in the New Testament, Jesus' lineage came through David, because that was a part of the generation that was promised from the very beginning. And where King David built a citadel and his palace, and it was a place where the Ark of the Covenant had been stored for some time before some brought it into the temple that King Solomon built. And in later books, or latter books of the Old Testament, this name, or Zion, sometimes is called, or to denote, Jerusalem in general, and sometimes God's chosen people. So you look at Israel, you look at Zion and Jerusalem, and those. And Jesus talked about the disciples going back to Jerusalem, and you stay there till you receive the Holy Spirit, and when you do, then you go out to Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. And that's, again, showing God's unconditional love that He would be coming to this earth to save everyone from their sins. So in the New Testament, it is used sometimes to denote the church of God. Zion, the church of God. Meaning those who worship Jesus Christ. And that is where Zephaniah is zeroing in. He's calling Israel back to the worship of the true living God. And this is a remnant that Zephaniah is talking about. And there's remnants not only according to Israel, but remnants in our nation of people. Just a small percentage of people who really worship the God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And bear in mind, oftentimes we are called, the United States is called a Christian nation. We are not. We are not a Christian nation. We were founded on the precept of being a Christian nation and fully trusting in God, and God truly has blessed us. Amen?
Amen.
He has truly blessed us. And I feel and believe in my heart, as long as we as a people, God's people, worship Him in truth and in spirit, He will help and protect and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Yep. But we've got to get everybody targeted and moving in that direction if there's any hope for this world today. Not only the United States, but the whole world. Now, the three names mentioned here, Zion, Israel, and Jerusalem, these three names are chosen people who worship God. Zion includes those of us who worship Him today. Now, and as I mentioned a while ago, when we worship God, those to God, God is spirit, and when we worship Him in truth and in spirit. And Zephaniah, that's what he's wanting to give the nation of Israel. All three of these names, which means the church of God, or the house of God, us as people, for Salem Baptist Church and all the churches in our area, all around the world, a nation, to focus upon God being spirit. And when we worship Him, we have to worship Him in truth and spirit. Now in verse 15, we learn that God wanted to remove the judgment that was brought on Israel by her enemy. And this enemy, as we see mentioned in this passage, was Babylon. And the judgment was there, the people were carried away in captivity into Babylon as punishment for abandoning the Lord because they were worshiping false gods. And if you remember in the scripture that you read, God forbid Israel, any of the Hebrew people, to marry out of their nation because many of those nations worship false gods, and it led them in that same direction. And that's what happened to many of them. And that's why the punishment, and that's why they were called into captivity in Babylon, because they went in that direction. And now he's offering refuge for them, to rescue them from and deliver them from the enemy, who is Babylon, who has nothing to do with God Almighty. Now Zephaniah prophesied of judgment by Babylon, but also prophesied of the day of deliverance, and that's from the judgment. And in verse 16, he used the expression, in the day, in that day, in that day to come. God is going to bring you through. He's going to lift you up on wings like eagle. In a future tense. And that's a future tense. And that is to come. All of this hadn't happened yet. There was a series of times when God was lifting him up, bringing him out of the valley, putting him on the mountain. But now we're talking as Zephaniah, many of the minor prophets are bringing Israel up in the future tense to deliverance. So people were told, let not your hands be weak. Let not your hands be weak. And in Hebrews 12, we read about how the Lord allowed us to go through some hard times for our own good. Sometimes it's a wake-up call for nations. It's a wake-up call for those who have strayed away from the precept of God. And see, Hebrews 12:12, we are encouraged to strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. That means that God will lift us up if we go to Him and remember what our lives and how He has brought us into the redemption through Jesus Christ our Savior, then He will strengthen our hands, and we won't be feeble. We will be strong, mighty, bold in the presence of God. And Israel would experience chastening during the Babylonian exile, but chastening lasts only for a time, before we are purged and escape to another side. Therefore, we are to be lifted up, our heads and our hearts, and stand tall in the confidence that God will deliver all of us one of these days out of this evil world. And when Zephaniah is talking about the weakness of the hands and the limbs and the knees, he's talking about the spiritual weakness. Therefore, we are to renew our strength in the Lord. And that's why I like this verse, Isaiah 40:31. You know, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and will mount like wings on eagles, as eagles. And Isaiah 35:3. Tells us that Israel will go through tough times during captivity. They're going through some tough times right now. Some of us are going through difficult times in our lives today. But we are to look up and place our hope in Jesus Christ, our deliverer, and He will prevail through all. The scripture's there, yeah. We are to mount up, and you see, we will run and not be tired, and we will walk and not become weary. You see, that's the key right there. Looking and keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. Let's move on to Jesus' amazing love. In verse 17, we see God's love for Israel as it is his fervent desire. Same as in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. To rescue Israel, swoop her off her feet, and rapture or call her up away from the place where she can rejoice, where God will rejoice over Israel, Zion, Jerusalem, quiet love, and rejoice over her with praise. See, that's what God wants in all of our lives. This is the application of the unconditional love that God has for each one of us. And then Isaiah 62:5, we read in reference to, as a bridegroom rejoices over her bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. See, Israel was viewed as God's bride. The church is God's bride. And one of these days, when he comes back, he will draw us all together. You see, today, those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's the church, or Zion, are seen as a bride of Christ. And if you want to read about being the bride of Christ, the church, God's people, all you got to do is just go to Revelation chapter 21. You can read all about it, especially in verses 9 and 10. See, Jesus is called the bridegroom in John 3:29. As similar to Israel's people today are running from God and doing their own thing. And we can't do that. I'm so thankful that God placed the prophets, whether minor or major, all of these in here as our messengers to prophesy and tell us in advance. But sometimes we have wax in our ears, right? We don't listen very well. We'll have cobwebs in our heart, and our hearts become hardened sometimes. The world is being conditioned by the evil one, the Satan. And we cannot allow him to do that. Now, finally, the Lord sings over his people. And see, that's what God is looking for, that fervent desire that God's people will one day recognize, hey, I'm in control of all things. You've got to follow me. My desire is, my love will flow from me to you and from you to other people to see Jesus Christ is the answer. So in verse 17, we see God's desire to rejoice over Israel and sing over her. That's what God's desire is. And God is a God of refuge. He wants to forgive us of our sins because Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we got to realize that. And yet, Jesus took our place in death. He took our punishment of sin on himself when he died and went to the cross for our sins. See, if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then in that day when we stand before him in heaven, the Lord will not see any blemish, but instead he will see something beautiful. The bride adorned of her husband. Revelation 21:2. See, the bridegroom is longing to sweep us off our feet. Sing sweet songs of deliverance. As Zephaniah is saying right here, he says, this is the direction God is leading you. He will rejoice, he will sing, he will dance over you. He is even willing to die for us. I encourage everyone here today, listen, to his, listen to his voice as he's calling out to each one of us. And then, in closing this morning, as I stated earlier at the beginning of this message, our view of God determines our relationship with him. It really does. Our view of God. If we view God as almighty, powerful, then we will desire and have that intimate relationship with him, and we will strive with all our hearts, soul, and mind to stay close to him day after day. So this morning we have seen our God, he is passionately in love with us. He loves us. He wants us to have a close relationship with him every minute of the day. And when I say every minute, that'd be day and night. That'd be 24/7, right? That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. And if we fail to stay close to him, then our fellowship with him is hindered until we recognize where we have gone wrong. And it doesn't, it's not going to go wrong. Not at all. It's where we fail. We don't always measure up. He's always ready to bestow his unconditional mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness. And I can go on and on and on and on. But he will rejoice and shout over us when we stay close. And in the end, this is what the outcome will be. Bringing all the remnants together, and they all will bow down, say, Lord, he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Never, everybody, one of these days, will bow down and say, you are the God, the true living God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the message today that you rejoice over us because you love us and you gave yourself for us on Calvary. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that bring out the truth to us and shows us how we can apply and make application in our lives to have that close relationship with you. And when we do, Lord, I know when one person is saved, one person, the angels in heaven sing. And Lord, when we draw near to you and our spiritual weakness is lifted up and we're set on higher ground and we recognize your power, your unconditional love, it strengthens us and it prevails over anything else in this world. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for not giving up on your people. Thank you for not giving up on nations who want to live for you. And even though in circumstances of things of this day, the negative things in the world, the wars and rumors of wars, Lord, you're still on your throne. And you intercede for each one of us. You intercede for those who truly love you and worship you. Lord, may it be our desire, that fervent desire, as you said to your disciples, and you said here in this passage of Scripture, draw close to me. I'll grow close to you. May that be a prayer this day. May our relationship be renewed with you at this very moment as we yield and surrender our lives to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.